Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss the halachas of Yerusha, particularly by non-Jews, and by Gerim. So the Gemara begins, Oiv Kachav Mesager. That means you have a Nachri that became a Ger, and his father died. Or ger es ager. If a father and a son were megayir together,
says the Gemara, Eina din, Eina loy medivri tarva loy medivri seifrim.
The Chazal did not see in those situations the concern that we discussed at the end of our previous year, that sometimes Chazal said that even though medaraisa, there should be no Yerusha. Midrabban and Chazal instituted Yerusha because they were concerned because maybe the Nachri will be Chayzel Asura. Here, in these circumstances, that they didn't see any concern. The Tanan says the Gemara, how can we learn this? From the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Love Mos Man Ager, Shinaz Gair Ban of Imai. If somebody borrowed money from a Ger whose children became Gerim, together with him, that obviously these children were born to this father before they all became Gerim. And then this entire family, the father and the sons, became Gerim. And the halach is Ger Shenes Gair Kekotn Shenoyla Dami. And therefore they're all halachically considered as if they're not related. And now the father died. When the person who borrowed the money wants to return the money, he shouldn't return that money to the children of the ger. And if he does, there is no, the way Rashi and the other Rishonim explain, he hasn't done anything appropriate. There's no reason to do so. Ask the Gemara, but how could you say that that's the halacha? But Tanya, we learned in another braisa, Ruach HaChamim Noichim Menu, that is the right thing to do, answers. The Gemara Lekasha, the way to reconcile these two braises is Kancha Rosh Le'edosh Shlab G'dusha, that the child was born before the parents became Gerim, and therefore, in that case, you don't have to give it back to the child, because it's obvious that the son and the father have no relations. The Kan, Shirosh Shlab G'dusha, that indeed he was conceived when the parents weren't Jewish yet. For the dos v'kedusha, but before he was born, the parents were megayir, and therefore people were concerned. Since this child, even though technically he's not really halachically the child of these parents, because since his conception was shleib kedusha, we say gershon is gai kodin shenoy l'dami, and halachically he's not related, but people will not recognize that. And because people will not recognize that, people will think that even by real Jewish children, even by somebody who has real, whose children are certainly his, they're going to say that there's no din of Yerusha, which of course is not true. Yerusha is a din daraisa. So in order to avoid any such type of mistake, Chazal said, give this child the Yerusha of his father. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav Yochanan, Avi Kacham Yerushas Avid Vatayra. Midaraisa and Nochri does Yarush and his father Midaraisa. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ki Yerushal and Esav Nasati is Harseya. Esav received Harseya as Yerusha. So Rashi explains that Esav inherited Seir from Avram Avinu. So from here we see that Avi Kachavim, there is a din of Yerusha by Av Kachavim. The Rosh says that the halacha that our Gemara is saying is not based on the fact that Esav yarshened Avram, but it's based on the fact that Esav's children yarshened Esav. The fact that Esav's children yarshened Esav is clearly an indication that there is Yerusha by Nachron. But ask the Gemara, how can we bring a raya from that? Dilma, Yisrael Muma Shani. Esau was a Yisrael Muma, and therefore his halacha is different than everyone else. So the way Melos Rishonim explained
Esav himself was a Yisrael Mumer, and therefore, since Esav himself, according to Rashi's explanation, was a Mumer, and therefore, since Esav was a Mumer, that's why he's still considered a Jew, and since he's still considered a Jew, that's why he deserves Yerusha. But according to the Rosh's Pshat, that what happened here was that Esav's children yarshened him. So how do we say that Esav's children were Yisrael Mumer? Weren't Esav's children full-fledged Nochrim? So I saw that the Rishash and others say that it's inconceivable to say that Esav had not made his wives, who were originally obviously not Jewish, do a geiris. He knew that that was something his parents could never accept. So since Esav had certainly made his wives to do your geiris, so their children were Jewish because of their Jewish mother. And since the mother was Jewish, so therefore the Gemara is saying that Esav, the children were Yisrael Mumer, and that's why we can't bring a raya from what happened with Esav to other situations where we're not dealing, where it's not individuals who we're talking about are Jewish. We speak about here by Yerusha, by Akum, but I saw that the Rishonim already speak out that even though we're learning that there is a halacha of Yerusha by an Akum, the question is this only by sons, or this is a halacha even by all relatives? So the Shas HaTshuva is Pri Yitzchak, Chelek Beis Simen Samach says that the halacha of Yerusha by Akum doesn't only apply by sons, it applies by Akum, by daughters as well. That daughters are also included in the, if we're learning now that there's Yerusha by Akum, then all of the halachas of Yerusha apply by them. The Sha'al Sechuvah Smicha Shleimer of Shleimer Zalman Orbach, Chelek Aleph, Simasav also discusses that he says that even though all Hilchos Yerusha apply by Nochrim, he wants to say a very bechiddush that by Nochrim we follow what the secular courts say. And even though we very much have halachas, who is considered, what order of Yerusha there is by Jews, that halacha doesn't apply. By those halachas don't apply by Nochrim. The halachas apply as interpreted by the non-Jewish courts. El mehacha, so we're still looking for a source how we know that there's Yerusha by Nochrim. El mehacha kil bnei noit nasati es Yerusha. So we see there was Yerusha by Nochrim. So the Gemara says that the reason Esav is considered, we can't bring a raya from Esav, because Esav was Yisrael Mumer. And as the Rebbeinu B'chaya describes Esav, so fishahoyu mezera avos v'lo halach b'drachayim, he was a child of our avos, he just didn't follow their ways. And Tzadik says, it's inconceivable to say that somebody who was the child of Yitzchak and Rivka should not be considered a Yisrael. The Sefer Taroscha Shashui explains that why part of the reason why what Yaakov did when he fooled Esav into letting him into with the story with Yitzchak with the brachas was because Yaakov Avinu could not allow that his father Yitzchak should eat from the shechita of Esav. Since he couldn't allow his father to eat from the shechita of Esav, knowing what he knew about Esav, that's why what he did was maybe to be understood. And in fact, I saw that the Mefarshim asked that how could have Yitzchak asked Esav to shecht an animal on his behalf? Isn't the halacha that the halacha the shechitas mumer is asur? So the Chidah says that even though the avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula, they only kept the Rabbonins, the Rices, but not the Rabbonins. And therefore, the halacha that a shechitas mumer is only an issa drabanan, then the halacha is that Yitzchak felt that he could eat from his shechita. Another explanation that I saw is that normally he did not eat, Yitzchak did not eat from the shechita of Esav. In this one time, Yitzchak felt comfortable in asking Esav to shecht on his behalf, because he told Esav, you bring me the food that you will prepare for me, and I will give you the brachas. So Yitzchak was convinced that Esav, of course, was so anxious to receive the brachas from Yitzchak, he would not do anything to interfere with that, including not doing the shechita in the wrong way. So since Yitzchak was convinced that under these circumstances, Esav would do the shechita properly, that's why he was comfortable in asking Esav to do the shechita. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Oven, that learns the Pasuk of Yerusha, my time lama Kurava, why didn't he learn from the halacha that we learned in our previous year, that the Gemara says that Eved Ivri that was sold to Nachri doesn't go over to his Yarshim. So we see that there is Yerusha by Nachrim. It says the Gemara, Miksev Chishim Kneivel Mayarsha Kneu. He says, if the Pasuk would have explicitly said that the Eved Ivri that's owned by a Nachri does not go on to his Yarshim, it would be clear that the Pasuk is teaching us that they are Yarshim by a Nachri. But the Pasuk doesn't say that explicitly. The only way we know it is from a Diuk. He wanted to bring a Pasuk that is explicitly. The Rava Maitama Leomakrav Chivar Oven, what does he learn from the Pasuk of Lei Bnei Oit? That clearly indicates that the Bnei Loit who are not Jewish had Yerusha. Says the Gemara, Mi Mishum Kvoid Avram Shani. There was a situation, was Loit, what he got was because he went with Avram Avinu to Mitzrayim, and he would remain quiet when Avram Avinu said, Sarah Choisihi. So because of that, he got a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that gift was so special that it went on to his children. And therefore, it's not a raya to anyone else. That's not a raya that Yerusha, he feels, applies by Nochrim as well. Torah Bonim, Yesh Be'ivri Shein Be'vriya. The certain halachas that apply by Eved Ivri, they don't apply by Am Avriya. Yesh by Am Avriya, Shem Bevri. And the certain halachas that apply by Am Avriya, they don't apply by Eved Ivri. Yesh Bevri, Shiyotze Bishonim. After 6 years, he goes out free. Ubi Yovel, if Yovel comes during those 6 years, he goes out free. Mises Adam, if his owner dies, he goes out free. Mashenki by Avriya, that the Avriya halacha doesn't apply by Avriya. Yesh b'Avriya sh'arei Avriya yotze b'simonim. When an Avriya brings simonim of Naris that she's 12 years old with two simonim, she goes out. Ve'en in nimkris v'nishnas, the Gemara is going to explain all of these halachas. She cannot be sold twice. Umafn oisa bal karcha, she can be redeemed from her owner even if her father is not satisfied with that. Mash enki be'ivri, these halachas don't apply by Ivri. So Rishayim ask, why doesn't the Braisa also mention the halacha that the halacha of Ritzia, that if an Eved Ivri wants to remain longer, it applies by an Eved Ivri and doesn't apply by Am Avriya. So Rashba says that the Braisa is focusing on Yitzias, ways that the Avodim go out. This is not something about going out. This is on the contrary, that they're staying. Ritva says that the Braisa did not have to say that Ritzia doesn't apply by Am Avriya, because the Torah says it explicitly. Because the Torah, introducing the parasha of Ritzia, says Ve'im Yoimer Ha'eved Lo, so Yoimer Ha'eved. So the Torah says clearly that it's only speaking about the Eved Ivri, not Am Avriya. And moreover, he says, why does the Torah continue saying that Eved says before he wants to remain? I love my owner and I love my wife. But the Am Avriya doesn't get a husband. So therefore, that whole statement doesn't apply by Am Avriya. And therefore, it's not said by an Am Avriya. Am Amar, so the Gemara delves into the Braisa. Yesh be'ivri, she'en be'ivriya. The certain halachas that apply by Eved Ivri, that don't apply by Eved Ivriya. The halacha of Sheish, Yovel Mises Adam.
For many, ask the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, and after your Dalar Amabez, Yisera, Alav Amavrish, Kaina Atzma B'Simanim. The Mishnah mentioned, again, Eved Ivri and Amavriya, and the Mishnah said that all of the halachas, how Eved Ivri goes out, apply by Amavriya as well. And there's also one more thing that we just mentioned, Simanim. So is it this contradictory to what we learned that in our Brisa, that the Brisa says that the El Mavriya does not go out Bishonim, Yovel, and Mises Adam? Answers the Gemara Amar of Sheshis, there's no stira. The Brisa is speaking about a case, Kigon She'odah, that the owner took the Amma for a wife. Once the Amavriya was taken as a wife, then she's his full-fledged wife. And all these other ways that Amavriya, which the Mishnah teaches us, would go out after 6 years or Yovel, don't apply once they were married. Once they become married, they have the halacha of husband and wife. And the only way a husband and wife, a wife leaves a husband is with his giving her a get. Says the Gemara, Yada, if they got married, pshita, that these halachas don't apply. Vegita boy, like I just said, they're considered husband and wife. And if they're considered a husband and wife, so the way a husband and wife's relationship is terminated is applicable, nothing else. Answers the Gemara, Maratem Lelevata Hilchsimene, that even though he chose to marry her, the other halachas that apply normally by an Ava Avriya would apply here as well. Kamash Malon, that no, she's a regular wife, and only the way a marriage ends is this going to end. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Yehochi, the Brisa continued saying, Yoitze b'simonim. Brisa said, Yesh b'vriya, shevriya yoitze b'simonim. Amai yoitze b'simonim, but that isn't true. When an Amma of Ria becomes a Gedoyla, if she had Yehud, if she got married to her husband, she doesn't go out just because she had Simonim. It says, Gemara Hochi Kamar. This is the way to understand the Brisa. Im lo yada. If yid was not conducted, then the halacha is yoytze af b'simonim. All the things that apply, but every will apply by her as well, plus simonim. The brisa now is very consistent with the Mishnah. If there's no yid, the various ways that every goes out that are mentioned in the brisa apply by the amavri as well. However, if there's yud, so then they consider husband and wife, and therefore these methods of ending the relationship are certainly not applicable. But what will be the halacha is that not only will all the different ways that the marriage ends apply, but even more so, what will be the halacha? That if there was no yud, once she becomes a nara, which stays simonim, she will leave her owner's home. We learned further in the Braisa, Eved Venin Nukras Venishnas. An Amma Avriya cannot be sold twice. Ask the Gemara Mechlal. That seems to teach us that Eved Ivri Nimk Venishna, that Eved Ivri can be sold twice. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, ham we learned, the Pasuk says, Em Ein Loi Ven Nimk Begine Vosoi, to we learn from here, Begine Vosoi Veloi Bekfeiloi, that we know that if somebody's a Ganef, so not only that he has to pay back what he stole, he has to pay kefil. But the Brice is teaching us, that the Torah teaches us, that if the person has the financial means to pay for his geneva, but he doesn't have the financial means to pay for the kefil, then he's not, for that we don't sell him. The genevasai v'loi bezmamai. If Edom come and say that a person stole, and then those Edom become zomimim. That means the Edom who said that we could testify that he stole, other people could come and say, how could you possibly say such edus? Imano ayisem, you were us somewhere else. The halacha is that vasisim loy kasha zomim lasis lacha. The punishment of the Edom zomimim is what they wanted to do should happen to them. So here, the halacha is, they wanted to make this kind of pay whatever you're supposed to pay. Now they have to pay. If they don't have the financial means to pay,
That isn't the reason to sell them for avodim. Beginavasoi, but here we have the question that kivin shenim kapam achas shuv yatir shoyle machroi. That the loch is once he was sold once, he may not be sold a second time. Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Eloi Kasha. The way to reconcile it is as follows: the brisa that says that you're not sold twice is begneva achas. If somebody stole a large sum of money and they sold him to be able to pay up what he owes, but he doesn't have, that didn't cover everything he stole. You don't sell him again because of that. If he stole from one person and then he stole from a second person, and then he was put up for the entire for both of those gnevis, and he doesn't have enough to pay back both of the victims from whom he stole, we could sell him twice in order that we should have the funds to pay back these two different people. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asks to Rabbi, Gnevusa Tova Mashma, that it can mean, Gnevusoi, Abaya is agreeing with Rava that we can indeed understandably differentiate between one act of Gneva versus two act of Gnevus. But he's asking, if a person stole twice from the same person, then we should still look at it as one act of Gneva. And even though it was two separate Gnevus, he should not be allowed to be sold. Alam Abaya, that's why Abaya says, Loi Kasha, Kan be Adam Echad, if somebody stole from one person, even if he stole a number of separate times, he's only sold once. Kan b'shnei b'nei adam. But if he stole from two separate people, then he can be sold separately for each geneva. And that's the way to reconcile these two braces. The Milchus Chinuch discusses that, let's say somebody stole, but the ganef admits that he stole, but he doesn't have the financial ability to pay back what he stole. What would be the halacha? It's haydos baldin kmei edim. And the question is, how does the halacha look at that obligation? Does the halacha look at that obligation that he has to pay back as a punishment? And therefore, since it's a punishment, maybe when a person is moed b'knas, when a person admits that he did something wrong, we don't punish him and we wouldn't sell him? Or is the halacha that you have to pay is a financial situation? This person stole. He has to repay what he stole. He doesn't have the financial ability to pay what he stole. That's what halacha says. We sell him. Tan Rabbanan. Gneva Elif. Somebody stole something somebody stole for somebody else $1,000. Veshava, but the person, and he doesn't have the ability to pay back. And the person who is the ganef is worth chamesh meis. He's only worth 500. Nimka v'chayzav nimkar. He sold until he could pay up everything he owns. However, gnev v'chamesh meis, he stole something worth 500 zuz, but he is shava elef. He's worth 1,000. Dalocha is ein nimka klal. Under those circumstances, even though he doesn't have the ability to pay back what he stole, he's not sold. V'lezo oimer, continues the Brice, Im ha yigenevi kenegi mekperi, that if he, the amount that this ganef is worth, is exactly equal to the amount of what he stole, hu nimka, that's when he will be sold. Vimlav, if it's not exactly the same, ain't a nimker, then he wouldn't be sold. Omer Rava, so comments Rava, behoza chiner Rabbi Lezel Rabbonin. Rabbonin, this is the way Rabbi Lezel was able to make his point. Maishna, geneva chamish meis v'shava elef. Why, if he stole something which is worth 500 zuz, and he himself is worth 1,000 zuz, ein nimkar, he's not sold. The nimkar, because we learn from the word that the Torah says, nimkar, kulay amrachmana. The Torah says that when do we sell the person to pay back what he stole? When by selling him, we cover the entire obligation. V'loy chetzya, but not in a case where he's only worth half of what he stole. Hachinami, says Rabbi Lezer, Nimke b'gnevasa amrachmana, the person is only sold when, by selling him, we could cover the entire amount that he stole. V'loy nimke b'chatzi gnevasa. If by selling him, we're not able to cover the entire debt, because it's not exactly the same. The halacha is that he's not sold at all. So according to Tosfos, it's going to be a very, very, very rare situation that that a person will be sold to cover a geneva. It's only going to be an exact situation where the value of the ganef and the value of what was stolen are exactly the same. Tosfos Rid finds that very difficult to understand. Tosfos Rid said this is so uncommon that the Torah has a whole parasha about somebody being sold to cover what he stole, and it's almost never going to happen. So the Tosfos Rid says that what Rabbi Elazar means to say, that what the pasuk means to say is, let's say selling him is not equal to the amount of the geneva. The amount stolen is worth more than he's stolen. What the Torah means to say, according to Tosfos Rid, according to Rabbi Elazar, is that we will give the victim whatever we got for the Eved, and whatever we got for the Eved is what we're going to give the victim. And even after the Eved is freed or anything else, he no longer owes the victim anymore. Whatever we got for him is going to cover the geneva. We learned in the Braisa that one of the halachas that apply by Om Avri and not by an Eved Ivri is the Maftanaisai Bal Karcha, that we can redeem her Bal Karcha. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? Maftanaisai Bal Karcha. Savarav Lameima, Bal Karcha da Adon. That even if the owner doesn't want her to be redeemed, that doesn't make a difference. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asks, Rava, my new, to Kasavna Lashtar Adime, that we could write to the owner a document that this is how much she's worth and this is how much she owes you. Says the Gemara, asked Abaya, why should that be acceptable? Amai, Nokin Marginosa Biyadeh, he's holding on to an Amma of Ria, which is a valuable asset. V'yavin Elechaspa, and we're giving him a piece of paper that she owes you that much. Elam Abaya, there is no question that you can't free her, you can't just free her with an IOU. So if that's the case, if she's paying, what does it mean about Karche? It says, Dugmar about Karche the Av, that even if the father does, if the father has the ability to redeem his daughter, they force him to redeem her. Why could they force her? Shemagam Beshracha. It's terrible reputation for the family that there's a girl in the family that's an Omavriya. So as the Gemara, if we're worried about family reputation, Yehachi asked the Gemara, Eved Ivri Nami Nechvin El B'nei Mishpacha, why by Eved Ivri can we not force the family to redeem him? Again, because they should have a claim, Mishpam Begam Mishpacha, it's a terrible reputation for the family that they have an Eved in the family. Answers the Gemara, because we have nothing to, we won't accomplish anything. Because even if we'll free him, because we're worried about the family's reputation, he'll just sell himself again. Ask the Gemara, if that's your concern, why don't we say the same by Om Avriya, that the father will sell her again? Answers the Gemara, that isn't a concern, for as we learned earlier, we can't be sold a second time. And now the Gemara goes, in fact, into this question. Is it permissible for a father to sell a daughter twice or not? Or Mani, who says the Gemara, who is the Tana that holds that a girl cannot be sold twice? Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon. He represents the opinion of Reb Shimon. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Moicha Adam Espita Leishas, a father can marry off his daughter, Vishoina. That means if a father married off his daughter and she became an almana, her husband died, her husband divorced her from Erisin, the halacha is he can be kaddish her a second time. Another halacha, the shivchas v'shayna, he could sell his daughter as an amma of Ria, and after she's freed, he could sell her again. Lishas achas shivchas, that after she was an amma of Ria, and she's no longer amma of Ria, now he can marry her off. However, avaloy l'shivchas achas ishas, if she was, and if she becomes an almana or a grusha from an erisin, he can't sell her for a shivcha. That is the opinion of Tanakama. Shimon Omer, shame shana the meichas bitl shivchas achi ishus. Just like after she was once married, the father loses the right
to ever sell her as a shivcha. Kach ena de meichas bitl shivchas achas shivchas. One, if she was a shivcha and that ended, she can't be sold again. And says the Gemara, what is the machloikis of a Tanakhama of Shimon based on that if you could sell a girl, if a father could sell a daughter for a shivcha more than once? It's based on the following brisa, based on the following machloikis tanoim of Rabbi Elazar ben Akiva. The Tanya, the brisa says, La'am nochre la'yimsha la'machroi be'big debob. So says the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva explains, Kivin shapirish ta'leisoi be'big debob, we know there are no nekudais in the Chumash. So he says the word bigdoy means beged. And we learn from here, Kivin shapirish ta'leisoi ale'a, that once she got married, shuv ein rishoy la'machra. The father loses the right to ever marry, sell her as an omavriya. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar Omer, the big debah. What we learn from here. So only if she was married, says Rabbi Akiva, she may not be sold again. But if she was a shivcha, she may be sold again. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He pronounces the big day from word of acting from rebellion, from acting improperly towards her. Kivin shavag debah. Once a father acted improperly towards his daughter, that he sold her as an amavriya, shuv ein rishoy la'machroi, he loses the right to sell her again. Says the Gemara, the question now is, what is the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva based on? Says, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar sava yesh ayim l'masayris. Then, whenever we have a word that there's a difference between the way it's written and the way it's pronounced, we follow the way it's written. And therefore, he says it bebigdoi from bogad, because that's the way it's written. Because if the Torah meant to beged, he says it should have said bebigdoi with a yud. Since we have a mesaira to pronounce the word bebigdoi, which is not bebogdoi, we follow the way we have a mesaira that the pronunciation should be. And the pronunciation indicates that once the girl was married, she cannot be sold as a shivcha. Rav Shimon, who holds that the father can't sell the daughter for shivchas, whether she was once a shivcha or whether she once is married, neither case can the father sell her a second time. What is the basis of his opinion? Says the Gemara Savar, his opinion is, yesh eim l'mikra u'l'masayris. We look at both. So the mikra teaches us that Rabbi Elazar says we go with, Rabbi Akiva says we go with the mikra, and therefore once she was married, she cannot be sold as a shivcha. Rabbi Elazar says we go with the mesaira, and once she was sold, she cannot be sold again. And he says we follow both definitions. Since we follow both definitions, that's why she can never be resold, whether she was once a shivcha or once she was married. The Malbim actually suggests that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are arguing on the similar machlokes that we had at the end of Masechta Gittin. At the end of Masechta Gittin, we remember the opinion of Beis Shammai was, Lo yigarish adam ishtoi, a person may not divorce his wife, elm kei motzaba ervis davar. So, and Rabbi Elazar points out the Malbim was a Talmud, the Gemara often says, Rabbi Elazar shemutihu. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So when the Pasuk says, that means that the pasuk doesn't mean that the owner sold it to somebody else, because what it means is that he's a shloya oda. That means that there was no yiyud. But if there was if there was yiyud, then you could sell. She could get remarried. Akiva says you could always divorce your wife, and the pasuk says a shloya oda. Even if they were just married, Imrah Be'ina Adonai, he doesn't want her. So that's why he explains the pasuk that way. So it's very interesting also to point out, the Rif already asked this question, the Shalas Shuvas Arif, the first simon. Here the Gemara uses the word Yesh Eim L'mikra, Yesh Eim L'masayris. In other places, it says Binyan Av. So why sometimes the way we're learning connected to a father, and sometimes it's connected to a mother? So he answers that Binyan Av
is trying to explain the way a pasuk, how to explain what a pasuk says. So therefore, it's called Binyan Av, because every word of the Torah is an Av, is the father of more limudim. But when we're speaking over here about Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMesiris, it's not speaking about what exactly it says in the pasuk. What's being referred to here is the Mesira, the way we pronounce it, or the way it's written. That isn't the actual limud of the pasuk. And that's Mesira, that much more what we get from generation to generation. And is what I understand what the Rif means to teach us, is that the Rif means to teach us that the basics of what we need to know is something that we learn from our Av, is something that we learn from our fathers. But the Mesira that is so integral to the continuation of Klal Yisrael, that's much more connected to the mother. So when we speak about Mesira, we connected Yesh Eim, we connected to the mother. When we speak about what it says, the basics, that is connected to the Av. By Rava Baravua, Yud. So as we've been learning, Torah Gedosha says that when you sell a girl as an Amma Avriya, the person to whom you sold it, or his son, could do Yiyud. So the question is, how does the halacha look at Yiyud? We know, as we've been speaking from the beginning of the Masechta, there are two steps in a Jewish marriage. Erisin, Kedushin, is the first step, and the second step is Nesuin. So the Gemara's question is, Boy Rabbi Bravu, Yiyud, what does Yiyud accomplish? Nesuin Isa or Erisin Isa? Does the Yiyud accomplish the Nesuin, or does it accomplish the Erisin? It's very interesting. The Rambam in Hilchas Avodim, Perek Dal Alochates, says a Yiyud ke Erisin, the Einu ke Nesuin. Baron Cutler asks a question that by every Nesuin, the husband becomes obligated in share ksus v'oina, that the husband has to support her and feed her and have relations with her and give her clothing, that at that point, that's only after Nesuin. The Torah says, after Yud, k'mishpat abonis v'yasalah, share ksus v'oinasalah yigra. So ask the Aaron, if we're going to say, and as the Rambam says, that Yid is only Erisin, why did the Torah say that at that point the husband, Sherik Susavainos La Yigra, if they're not considered like Nesuin, why would he be obligated in all these things? So explains Rab Aaron that even if we're going to say that Yid doesn't accomplish the same as Nesuin, it's still not as little as Erisin. He says that even if we're going to not accept that Yiyud accomplishes a Nesuin, we're going to have to agree that it's more than just a regular Erisin. And since we're going to have to agree that it's more than a regular, and what's the reason? Because of what it says in the Pasuk, Sherek Susav Einos La Yigra. What Rav Aaron means to say is that the Gemara's question is it considered like a full-fledged Nesuin, or is it a step above Erisin? That's why the Rambam says that it's for Enoch and Nesuin. But why do you have to say it if it's Erisin? It's obviously not Nesuin. Because what the Rambam means to say is that even though it's not a Nesuin, it's still not a regular Erisin either. Says the Rambam, why would it be an Afkamina if it's an Erisin and Nesuin? As we've learned many times, L'yarsha, the halacha is that if a wife dies, her husband yarshens her. That halacha only applies by a Nesuin, not by an Arusa. The Tamala, the halacha is that if somebody's married to a Kohen, normally he's not allowed to become Tamei, but if he's married to a wife, he does become Tamei, but that's only by a Nesua. Or Hafen Nedarel, as long as a girl is only an Arusa, Hanedarim are annulled with a partnership of the father and the husband. But once she's in Nesua, the husband does it alone. Mai. So the Rambam wants to know, what is this girl who had Yiyud status? Toshma, we learned the Bogdaba. The Torah says, Kivin Shapirish Talisa Aleh, once the husband married her, Shuv Einu Shalom Mokri. She may not be sold as a Shifcha.
What do we see from here? Zavuni hoydulay mazbilo. The father loses the right to sell her. Hayud miyodulay. He still has the right to marry her off. But says the Gemara, if we're going to say that Yud accomplishes a nesuin, isn't the halacha the kivin the nisus? Once a girl has nesuin, shuv ein lavi rishuspa, the father has no right to ever marry her off again. Elav shmamina. Isn't this clearly an indication that all Yud accomplishes is the erisinoisa? Says the Gemara, Amram Nachman Yitzchak Hachbe Kedushta Almakai. This brisa is not speaking about Amar Avriya that had Yud. The brisa is speaking about somebody who was Makadish's daughter, and then the Oris died or divorced her. Vachkamer. And what the brisa means to say is, Kimit Shemasra, once a father gave her over for Kedushin, Lemishin Eschai B'Ksherik Susav Einasa, once he gave her over to such a person, Shiv Eniyach L'machra L'Shivchas. Why? Because the halacha is that once a girl was an arusa, this brisa holds, she can never be sold for a shifcha again. But it has nothing to do with what Yud accomplishes. Tashma, says the Gemara, the brisa says, Ein Meichel Kroivai. The father could sell a daughter for a shifcha, for Amavriya, but they can't ever sell it to a relative, because a relative who can't marry her, so that will be an individual who will not be able to do Yud. And the Bryce is teaching us that if Yud will not be doable, then you can't sell that girl to such an individual. You could sell to relatives. V'shavin, everybody agrees, the Chomer and Beleza says, the Bryce Amach Amonel Kain Godel, that she's Amonel Kain Godel can be sold, Amonel can be sold to Kain Godel, and a Grusha Chalutza can be sold to Kain Hedget. Because since in those cases, if the Kedushin would be valid because they're only Chayv Lavin, so that's why they can be sold to such individuals. But now ask the Gemara, we speak about Almona. That was sold. Hay Almona Hechidom, Ilayim the Kaddish Nafsha. If we're going to say that speaking about a case where a girl was Makadish herself when she was a Katana and her husband died, Almona Koyrelei, what she did was meaningless. A girl who's a katana does not have the halachic ability to marry herself off. So she didn't become an almana because she was really never married. Ella de kachavia. Isn't it the case that the father was mekadeshar to an orus, and then he died, and now the father wants to sell her? But the question is, how could that be a possibility? Mi matzah mazman la? Does anybody hold that she could be sold as an amavriya under such circumstances? Haven't we learned? A father can't sell his daughter for a shifcha once she had a proper erisin. In order to be able to understand this brisa, we have to speak about Kedusha Yod. The father sold the daughter for an omer, and then the owner took her for a wife, and he died. And now the father wants to sell her for a shifcha. And here, the brisa seems to teach us that she could be sold for a shifcha. And it's not considered a case of being sold for shifchas achi ishas. And it's going according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to be discussing in a coming shir. When yid is done, what are the mechanics of the yid? And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that mos rishon slava kedusha nitnu. The money that the father... That the owner gave the father when he bought the Amavriya is not the money with which he's doing Kedushin. The yield is done with what she still has to work with him. And therefore, since that was the case, then the father never married her off. The other married her. And that's why the father could sell her again, because it's not considered shifchas achas ishas. But says the Gemara, if we're going to say that accomplishes nesuin, how can we say that the father can marry her off? If yid accomplishes nesuin, kivin shenasas, everybody agrees, shuv ein lavir rishuspa, he has no rights at all over her, not for marriage and not for certainly to sell as an amavriya. Elamai, so what are you going to say? You're going to say that the yid accomplishes erisin oisa, that makes erisin. But ask the Gemara, Ham learned v'shoven that everybody agrees shemachroy that she could be sold after there was yud. But the question is v'ha'ein adam meiches bittel shivchas achiishes. The halacha is that you can't sell your daughter for shivcha after she was an arusa. Elamai mislach meima. What must we say? Shana arusa the dom arusa navia. A rusin that the father created, that's when the father can't sell her again. But if she got married on her own, then the father could sell her again. So say, if that's the way we're going to differentiate, that it's a nafkamina who created this erusin, so then why don't we say that the yud is nesiun, the shani nesuun the dem, nesuun davia, says the Gemara. Bishlam erusin, erusin shani, to differentiate between the father doing the erusin, that once the father did erusin, there's no more option for him to sell her again, because he was the one that did the erusin, versus an erusin that she did herself, that there the father retains his right. But if a girl came to the status of nesuin, nesuin mishani, nesuin takes the daughter out of the father's rishus. If nesuin takes the girl out of the father's rishus, it shouldn't make a difference who made the nesuin. So therefore, we're going to explain that the Bryce is speaking about a case where there was yidon. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that that's not considered something that the father did, and therefore the father can marry her off. But that's only if we'll say that yid makes erusin, not if we'll say nesuin. Says the Gemara. Well, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak asked the Gemara. Nachman Yitzchak the Amar Filo Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Moes Rishonis LeKedushin Nitnu. That even when the father married, that even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will agree that yid works, that the original money that the father received was what made her marry off. But my mukum law, so then the father's the one that married her off. So this distinction that we're making between the father and her doesn't fall. Mukum law kerev, lezadama l'shivchas achla, shivchas udaloy matzun la'azun law, that once he sold it for a shivcha, he can't sell it again as a shivcha, as we learned earlier, av l'shivcha achas ishas matzun la'azun law. And therefore, we'll say that yid makes erusin, and he holds that shivchas achas ishas is acceptable because of following the opinion of Elazar. But according to this, we're learning that Yud accomplishes only Erison.